John chapter 4 and verse 1. Amen. Amen. Just let it out. Let all that week of the devil beating you up out in your praise and your worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, verse 3, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. This is a message I preached about 4 years ago in June. And the title of the message is, Don't Let the Journey Wear You Out. Don't let the journey wear you out. If you could bow your heads with me one more time. Lord, we just thank you for an anointing. Break every yoke in this place. Set at liberty them that are bound. Heal the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. Lord, give me utterance, Lord. I pray that this will bless, uplift, revive. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Turn to someone and tell them, don't let the journey wear you out. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sometimes the journey is long, it's hard, it's tiring, it's dusty, it's hot, and sometimes you just feel like you can't make it. Sometimes, let's be honest, we feel like giving up. Sometimes we feel like there's just no more in us to give. You've given to your family. You've given to your friends. You've been the one they always keep calling. But I'm telling you today, don't let the journey wear you out. There's something very special in the Bible, and I've taught it so many times, where Jesus always shows up in a garden and by a well. And we find that he had left Judea and he had come through, it says he must go through Samaria. And he came to this place called Sychar, a city of the Samaritans, near to a parcel of ground that Jacob had given his son Joseph. And by that place they had built a well. Now this well was different from a lot of wells in Jerusalem and in that area because it had survived for thousands of years. It had been there for a long, long time. Now the secret to this well was it had flowing water. It had tapped in. They had dug down until they had hit a stream of living water. This was not one of those wells that you have them for a little bit and they dry up. This well had been there since the time of Jacob. This was more than 1,500 years. This well had been supplying this city called Sychar, the water for the village. And it just so happens that Jesus, on his journey, came to this well. And the scripture says an amazing thing. We see, we don't think that the Son of God in his flesh could get tired. But he was showing us that yes, because he was also flesh, he could get tired. Anyone get tired? I'm telling you, don't let this journey wear you out. He came and he sat near to this well. And the Bible says that being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. It was about midday. It was the hottest time of the day. The sun was beating down. And his disciples had come with him, and they were all hungry. And they had no food. So Jesus just told them, why don't you go into the village to get us some food? And the Bible said they all went and left him by himself at the well. Sometimes you feel like you're all by yourself. You feel that there's no one you can turn to. There's no one who understands what you're going through. There's no one who is listening to you. They had left him all by himself. And in his flesh, in his body, It says he was weary. He just sat down by the well. I'm telling you, the best place to sit down is in this well. You have come to Rehoboth, the place that was named after a well. And I'm telling you, this is the place to sit down. Because just like Jesus, when you sit down by a well, Jesus is going to show up. Two places Jesus can always be found, in a garden and by a well. And this well was a special well. You'll find it had a spring of living water. It was a place where it never went dry. There was always a place of living water. But you know what? When you have those kind of wells, you have to dig down deep. You can't just throw your bucket on the surface and hope to get anything. You have to dig down deep. But if you are patient, if you are someone who won't give up and you will be committed and you dig down deep, you'll get some of the sweetest water there is. Jesus had left all his disciples and they had gone into town. And the Bible says that he was wearied. So if you ever ask the question, is it okay to be weary? Yes, it is. Sometimes we're going to get tired. Sometimes we're going to feel like we just cannot make it. And it's okay as long as the place you're sitting down is by a well. If you're sitting by a well of living waters, you can get refreshed. You can get your spirit held up. You can be revived. You can be blessed. Hallelujah. So he's sitting by this well, and you know the story. The woman comes out from the village, and she is drawing water. And he says to her, "Can I have some?" And she is a Samaritan. Now, as you know in the story, the Jews and Samaritans don't have any dealing. So she's looking at him. As if, why are you asking me? We're not supposed to be even talking. You see, Jesus can meet you in your situation where it seems as if you're not even supposed to have any help. Just at the place where you are weary and tired and your journey feels that there is no more given you, you look out because that's where he will show up. Amen. She had come out from a troubled life. She had family situations, family issues. As it turns out in the story, she had been married 4 or 5 times, and the person she was living with, the Bible says, was not her husband. But guess what she met? She met someone who was more than a husband, more than a man. He was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. But you know, she didn't recognize him as such. All she saw was this man sitting on the well and talking to her about, "Can I have some water?" But the moment he started to talk, something happened. The moment Jesus reaches out to you, something will happen. Something will change. Something new will happen. The moment she started to talk to him, she found out that he had some water that she knew nothing about. He said, "Listen, if you would ask of me, I could give you some living water." And this time he wasn't talking about the well, but he was talking about something that is more precious, something that can help you when you're weary, something that water can't do. There's no Gatorade that can help you in this situation. But I know someone who is sitting by a well, this well today, who can give you a spring of living water. Hallelujah. Don't let this journey wear you out. I'm telling you, there's going to be times when you feel like just giving up, like there's no more you can do. There is no end in sight. There is nothing more to give. But I'm telling you, before you sit down, find the well of living water. Be looking for where it is okay to sit down. Don't sit down on the road. Don't sit down in the desert. Make sure you get to the oasis where the spring of living water is. Hallelujah. Verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about midday. You know, sometimes we think that we just cannot make it, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm sure that in your life's journey, every single one of you have come to this place where you just don't know what to do, where you're facing such a terrible situation. You don't know whether to turn to the left or the right or even just to quit and just lie down. But I'm telling you this, get up. Make sure you're not sitting down until you reach that well of living water. See, this church was named after a well, Rehoboth. And it means the place where God makes room. We find the first occurrence of someone meeting God in a well was Hagar. She was a slave. She had run away from Abraham and out into the desert, into a desert place where there was no water. And as she was giving up, the angel pointed out something to her. You know, you are by a place called the well of living water. And there she was able to be saved, her and her son. I'm telling you that if you are wanting to sit down, if you've been weary with your journey, you're at the right well today. This is God's well. This is the place where he has made room. Not this building, but this represents God's kingdom, God's entryway. This is the where where you can hear a word that will refresh you, that will give you faith, that will build up your soul if you will take it. She said to him, well, you don't have anything to dip into the well. How are you going to drink? And that's when he turned the table and says, if you knew who it was who was talking to you, you would ask of me. Sometimes we come to church with such low expectations. We don't believe anything's going to happen. We're just there because someone invited us. And we just got to show up because they kept on inviting us. But I'm telling you today, if you knew who was speaking to you today, if you would open up your heart, you are at a place where there is a well of living water. Don't let the journey wear you out. Yes, in our flesh at times we're going to feel weak. We're going to feel like, where are we? What are we going to do? But don't let the journey wear you out. See, the Samaritans were not the upper class of their day. They were the downtrodden. They were looked on as half-breeds. They were half-Jews and half-something else. So no one wanted to have any dealings with them. But here comes the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he starts talking to this woman. And she starts to feel something. And he starts to tell her a revelation. He gives her a revelation that is so deep and profound. She says, well, you know, you Jews say we got to go to Jerusalem to worship. And we Samaritans believe we should worship right here. But then Jesus gives her a revelation. He says, not at Jerusalem, not in this mountain, but right in front of you. If you knew who it was, you can worship. Don't start looking for help from outside. Don't start looking from this person or that person. Right now, right at this place, you can get delivered. You can get resuscitated. You can get revived. All you have to do is believe. Hallelujah. That's all you have to do, because that is how you drink from the well of living water. You take your cup of faith. You take your bucket of faith and you plunge down deep. You plunge down into that well and you can be refreshed. You see, Jesus was talking to her and she was talking to him, and there were words being exchanged, and these words became like food. Because when his disciples came back, he said, aren't you hungry? They said, aren't you hungry? He said, I have had food that you don't know of. I've been eating something you don't know of. Do you know that the word of God is food? It will revive your soul. It can fix your problems. It can give you faith. It can give you direction. You just need to have that bucket of faith and dip down into that well. Don't let the journey wear you out. We find in the Old Testament that when the children of Israel left Egypt, they came up to the Red Sea and they could not pass. Now, back a few weeks or months earlier, Moses had gone before Pharaoh and he had asked them to let them go. And he had said, let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness so that we can offer sacrifices and that we can praise and worship our God. And Pharaoh wouldn't let him. We find that when we study scripture, when they crossed the Red Sea, it took them about 2 months to get to Mount Sinai. 2 months of travel in the desert. And then they came all the way up to the Canaan. And we find that that only took them 2 years. 2 years in a journey. But because of unbelief, that 2 years turned into 40 years. Can you imagine what your unbelief will do to your journey? It will make it worse. It will make it longer. A journey that could have been done in 2 years ended up taking 40 years. The journey, in that case, they let it wear them out. I'm telling you today that if you take your bucket of faith, you can cross over into Canaan. When Joshua and Caleb came back, they said, we are more than able. We are more than able to do this journey. But if you let unbelief come into your life, the journey will wear you out. What I'm telling you today, when you come by the well of living water, when you find that Jesus is sitting on the well, you have to recognize where you are and understand that he is the well of living water. He is the one throughout of which can give you something to refresh and sustain you. Don't let the journey wear you out. In 2 Kings, we find Elijah decided to go in the opposite direction First Kings, sorry, 19, chapter 19 and verse 4. It took the children of Israel 2 years to get to the border of Canaan. They let the journey wear them out, because by the time they got there, their faith was so low. And they had had so many miracles done for them. They had water come out of a rock. They had food fall from heaven. Their clothes never wore out. And yet, they let their soul get worn out. They let the journey wear them out. Now we see in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, something interesting here, a reverse journey. Here Elijah was coming from Canaan, and he was running away from that wicked queen Jezebel, and he let the journey wear him out. He was so depressed, so down. God had done just such a great miracle. You see, it's at times like that that the devil will want to snatch victory and replace it with defeat. Just after you've had a great blessing, he had called down fire from heaven. God had licked up all of the stones and eaten up all the sacrifice, and the prophets of Baal had been killed. But then here comes Jezebel saying, I'm going to get you. And then he let the journey wear him out. We read in 1 Kings 19:4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a juniper tree. You notice where he sat down? Not near a well, not in any place where he could really get sustenance. He sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested that he might die. Have you ever felt like that? You just feel like going out somewhere, pulling the covers over you, and tell the world, go away. You just want to crawl into a fetal position and tell the world, goodbye. I don't want to deal with this anymore. Elijah pretty much did the same thing. He went in the opposite direction. Instead of from Canaan, he was going towards Egypt. He went out into the desert, and then he let the journey wear him out. He crawled underneath a juniper tree, and he just said, Lord, kill me. Let me die now. I'm tired. I've done my very best. There's no one else who wants to serve you. I'm just fighting a hopeless cause. And he wanted to just die right there. He let the journey wear him out. And it said, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him. See, God wasn't finished with him yet. There may be a time when you feel like I'm depressed and I can't manage it, but God is not finished with you yet. Hallelujah. God is not over with you yet. You know, they have a saying, it's not over until the large lady sings. That's not politically correct. But let me tell you, rephrase it. It's not over till the big guy says so. Till the King of Kings says so. That's when it's over. Elijah felt it was over. He had let the journey wear him out. He'd only gone a day into the wilderness, and he was saying, Lord, just kill me. I'm tired. I can't do this anymore. Those of you who are old enough remember, I guess, Red Fox. I'm afraid that's beyond some of you young people. But Elijah laid under the tree, and he just said, Lord, kill me. But God wasn't finished with him yet. Even though he had not picked a good spot, I'm telling you that God is not finished with you yet. Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him. Sometimes it's hard for God to get us to realize that he's not finished with us. Something will happen and we'll say, well, that's just coincidence. I'm still in a mess. The angel has to touch you the second time and told him to get up. Can't you see that I'm preparing something for you? Can't you see that there is a way out? Don't let the journey wear you out. So the second time, this time he started to believe it, and he got up and he started to eat. And the angel told him, listen, the food I'm giving you is not ordinary food. You've got a 40-day journey and you're not going to get any more. But this food I'm giving you is like living water. Because he was going all the way back to the mountain of Sinai. He had a 40-day journey. You see, when God gives you refreshing, it can keep you, even in a desert place. You try to do it for yourself, and it won't work. But this food was supernatural, because we find that Elijah was able to take a 40-day journey into the wilderness, all the way back to Mount Sinai, where they had started from, because God wanted to reveal something to him. I've got work for you. You can't give up. You can't quit right now. Get up. Stop sitting down by the desert. Don't go under a juniper tree and crawl under there and say, God, kill me, because he has work for you to do. Don't let the journey wear you out. If you felt like that right now, if you've been wanting to just quit and give up, God is speaking to you. He is speaking to someone here to say, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't let this journey wear you out, Elijah. Because God had to reveal to him, I have 7,000 more people who have not bowed their knee to Baal. God has blessings yet in store for you that you have not seen. God has wisdom and jobs and provision in store for you that you have not experienced yet. You have got to get up and eat, Elijah. Don't let this journey wear you out. I've got a plan for your life. I've got for you to do some things. I need you to go to Mount Horeb because I'm going to give you something. I'm going to put something into your life. Don't let the journey wear you out. See, Satan will try and deceive you and depress you and tell you that there's nothing else that can be done. There is no way out. It's finished. But it's not finished, not until the large lady sings, until he says so. And he is the final Supreme Court. It's not done till he says it's done. It's not over till he says it's over. And guess what? It ain't over. It's not over. Satan, you can do all kinds of things to Job, but you can't have his life. You can make him sick. You can take his money. You can destroy his livelihood. You can take his job, but it ain't over yet. It's not over yet. Don't let this journey wear you out. See, we are on a journey. God told Abraham in Genesis 17, walk before me, be thou perfect. I'm going to take you from Ur of the Chaldees. And it took Abraham many years because he was kind of slow. But he got there in the end. He did not let the journey in the end wear him out till he got and was able to stand in Canaan. And God said, everywhere you look, everywhere you walk, I'm going to give to you. Don't let the journey. Listen, if someone told you everywhere you walk in Milwaukee, we're going to give to you, would you let the journey wear you out? Some of us would be running down the lakeshore, right? Where all the million-dollar properties are. No matter how tired we were, if we were going to get everywhere our feet trod, man, we would be running and running. Give me some water. I'm not done yet. But you've been done. No, I'm not done yet. You see, what we need is a vision of faith that we have an inheritance, that God has got a plan for your life. Don't give up right now because you're just under the juniper tree. The angel's about to shake you awake and say, listen, I've got some stuff for you that's going to take you all the way. That's going to take you all the way. All the way. You don't have to doubt anymore. You don't have to fear. Don't let this journey wear you out. If you could stand with me today. Verse 7, 1 Kings 19, verse 7. That's why you need to come to church. Because what you're getting is some spiritual food. Because if you don't eat it, the journey will kill you. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. If you don't get some spiritual food, if you don't get some faith, if you don't hear a word into your soul, the journey will kill you. You can't make it. But just as our great example, Jesus was wearied in his flesh, after the word came, the Bible said he told his disciples, I've had some food that you know nothing of. It was spiritual food. It was supernatural food. Today you've had some spiritual food. You had some supernatural worship. You've heard some testimonies that encourage you, that lift you up, that tell you you're not alone. Look around here. You're not alone, Elijah. Don't give up. There's other people going through some struggles. There's other people in other countries that are being stoned to death for this word. We have not endured yet to death. We've not been whipped. We've not been beaten. We've not been shipwrecked. Don't let the journey wear you out. You're at the right place. You're at a well. And this well had some living water. All you have to do is take your bucket of faith and throw it down deep and get you a fill. Because the angel said to Elijah, listen, you've got still more journey to do. This is not the end. This is the end of the beginning. God's got a plan for your life. Believe it. God has got a plan for your life. Just don't give up. Don't crawl under the tree and ask the Lord to kill you, because he won't do that. He hasn't finished speaking. No matter what others have said, no matter what the world has said about you and put names on you and called you a failure and a loser, he's called you my friend, my child, my son. Satan, have you considered my servant, Job? And how no matter what you do to him, he keeps his integrity. He hasn't let the journey wear him out. Now, there's a man who could have let circumstance wear him out. His children have been killed. His animals have been attacked. His business has been destroyed. And he's in sickness and he's in pain. But he never let the journey wear him out. We're closing this service, but I just wanted to leave this word of encouragement to you. Don't let the journey wear you out. If you have to take a rest, make sure it's by a well. Preferably Rehoboth. Because this is a place where there is living water. I open these altars. We're going to close in prayer today. Remember this word. When you're feeling down this week, when the devil has got you, just tell him, I'm not going to let this journey wear me out. I refuse to let this journey wear me out. I am going to take my bucket of faith, and I'm going to dig down into the well of salvation, and I'm going to get some living water. I'm going to get some living water. I'm not going to let this journey wear me out. Hallelujah.